Hey everyone, it's good to see everyone out tonight. It's good to see the guests we have here. We want you to know you're our honored guests, and you're invited to come back at every worship service we have. We have a 9:50 Bible study, and we have a 10:50 service, and then we have a 6 p.m. service here at the Rose Congregation. I am totally honored to be able to speak to you tonight. Every time I get in front of the congregation, I am honored to give a lesson, and I'll do my best. I'm not a teacher or a lesson giver, but I'm honored to give a lesson, to be able to share the Word of God. Open your text, your Bibles, to Luke, a very familiar chapter, Luke 12. I will be reading verses 16 through 21. And I'll just caution you, I'll be going through a lot of scriptures tonight. And if I'm going too fast, I'll try to slow down. And I'll be reading one particular passage from the Blue Letter Bible. I'll be taking the lesson, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And that's Luke 12 and 16 through 21. And the Bible reads in that particular passage, "And he spake a parable," this is Jesus talking, "unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Wherefore shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich towards God." If you don't mind, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for one moment. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. We ask you to bless us, Father, and we especially thank you for all of the things that you give us each and every day. Father, we know that everything belongs to you. And Father, help us always to store up our things and our treasures in heaven. And I ask you to continue to bless us as we walk and draw closer to you. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we just read Luke 12 about a certain rich man. And we read about the thoughts of this certain rich man. And though not necessarily always in all the cases, the attitude that the rich man took with his thoughts. And so as we read in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, this particular attitude is where I get to reading my verses at. It's five things that I want to look at in tonight. And I'll be reading, like I said, many verses, so I'll slow down if I'm going too fast. I'll be going through many scriptures. Now, the attitude that the rich man takes, number one, is ignorant towards the word of God. In Hosea 4:6, the Bible reads, "Many people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That has rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be with no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children." When you look in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15, which is a familiar verse with us. Study to show thyself approved unto a good workman, that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of God. Now, we talked about number one, remember, ignorance of God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And besides the giving, all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperament, and to temperament patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Excuse me. When you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, the Bible says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Number two, when we're looking at the attitude of the rich man and the barns and his fruit. Number two, there's too much concern of self. In Matthew 7, verse number 21 to 23, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In Galatians 1, verse number 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I seek to please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Going further, when you look into the word of truth in Matthew 26, verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. This is Jesus on the cross, not thinking of himself, but the Father's will. In Romans 12, verse number 3, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When we think of the certain rich man, number three I want to look at, the fear of investigation. In John 3, verses 19 through 21, and the Bible reads, and this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they may be wroth in God. And I said I was going to read from the Blue Letter Bible. That particular verse, number verse 21, reads in the Blue Letter Bible, but those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21, a verse that we all familiar with, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The fourth thing I want to talk about is the great concern for the world, which this certain rich man may have had when he had his thoughts with him. The great concern for the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to be reading verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us as far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, which is eternal. In Matthew 8, verse number 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they had saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their sight. In our scripture, in our Bible, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affliction on things above. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, the Bible reads, but godliness with content is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and remnant, let's be therewith content. Number 5, the attitude of the young rich man could possibly lean towards belief in all religions. In Matthew 15:13, the Bible reads, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. In Galatians 1:6-9, the Apostle Paul writes, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, you then that which are have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And dropping down in that same Galatians to verse number 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, for ye have heard of my conversation in past times in the Jews' religion, that how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion. Above any my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of men. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidden to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe to know the truth. And I read all these scriptures pertaining to the young rich man. What then can we learn from this particular parable? Number one, we can learn that God wants us not to be ignorant of his word, but to be knowledgeable of his word, that we can show ourselves approved unto God, being not ashamed and rightfully dividing his word. Number two, we could learn that God wants us not to think highly of ourselves or be pleasing to men, but to be pleasing to God. Number three, we can learn that the light has come into the world, and we want our deeds, the things that we do here on earth, to be pleasing to God. Number four, we should always remember and recognize that the things here on earth are temporal, but the things which are not seen eternally are heavenly. Number five, God will root up every plant that he has not planted. That's a very powerful statement there. In the parable of the certain rich man, the rich man was satisfied in his fruits and planting and building his barns, but God was not satisfied with him, as we saw in verse 20 and 21. So I ask the question, is God satisfied with your life? Our life and the things that we are doing in our life. We want to make sure that God is satisfied with the things that we're doing. Now, the Bible tells us how we could be satisfied and how God wants us. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse number 6. How can we satisfy God? Well, it says without faith, it is impossible to satisfy God. When we look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another way we could be satisfied, or God could be satisfied, is with our life and reading the scripture in Micah 6, 8, verse number 8. He have showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And finally, in John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. The scripture that we started with and read seems basically innocent. Someone wanting to store their fruits up. But God was not satisfied with the particular rich man. So we want God to be satisfied in the things we do in our life so we can draw closer to him. So I ask the question tonight as I conclude my very short lesson, and I know I went through a lot of scriptures. I ask the question, is God satisfied with your life? Is he satisfied with what you're doing in your life? If not, then we need to make sure our Lord and Savior is satisfied with what we're doing. I thank you for listening to this very, very short lesson. And I hope it has been beneficial to you. And I'm going to yield the remainder of my time to Brother David that he may present his lesson. Thank you for listening.